Good afternoon. Today I'll be talking about our work on redesigning privacy control in social networking platforms. As we all know that social networks have gained tremendous popularity in recent years. According to one estimate, the number of unique visitors to these social networking sites have surpassed a mammoth 700 million users per month. With this tremendous growth comes the growing concern for privacy. Users are putting more and more data onto these social networking sites, whether it is in the form of their profile information or their personal pictures. As a result, some users have faced severe consequences for sharing their data online. For example, one high school teacher was refused a job after her potential employees saw her pictures on Facebook. Also, a mayor of a small town was forced to resign because of a controversial MySpace picture. In a more recent incident, burglars targeted some specific homes after knowing that the homeowners were out of town from their Facebook status messages. To add to this concern, social networks are now acting as programming platforms, allowing third-party applications to be developed and deployed as extensions to these sites. The platforms expose a set of APIs which can be used by these applications to retrieve user data and to integrate themselves with our user's profile. If we look into the architecture of a typical social networking platform, we can see that the platform itself only acts as a proxy, integrating the application's output with its own content. The application by itself is hosted on its own server and retrieves the user data through the APIs exposed by the platform. This limited architecture has several weaknesses. First of all, there's no control over who can develop and deploy an application. As a result, anyone with malicious intent can create an application to retrieve user data. Secondly, the platform renders minimal or no control on what these applications can access. For example, Facebook allows access to most of the user data, just preventing some access to some information like your contact information. And finally, once these applications have access to user data, they are free to share this data with any external entity, such as the advertising agencies. And there's virtually no control over what these applications can do with the data they have access to. So throughout this talk, I will take Facebook as an example, but similar concepts apply to other social networking platforms like Google's Orkut, which is based on Open Social. When you are adding an application to Facebook, the user has to agree to share all his information, including the profile information, photographs, and the friends information with this application. This application, in turn, is bound by Facebook's agreement for these applications. However, when we look deeper into the Facebook's terms of use for the users, we can see that Facebook clearly state that, number one, it does not screen the developers of an application, and secondly, there's no guarantee that these applications or the application developers will follow the Facebook agreements. So what we as users are left with is we have to trust not only the platform, which is Facebook in this example, but we also have to trust all these applications we add to our profile. And since, as I said earlier, anyone can develop these applications without much focus on the code quality or proper testing procedures, as a result, many mistakes have been made. Top Friends is one of the most popular application on Facebook, which has about millions of users. It had a vulnerability that allowed anyone to access the profile information of any user of adding this application. This created a controversy after some profile information of some high-profile celebrities was leaked out. When Facebook was asked about this controversy, their response was that we expect third-party applications to follow the rules set by the user. What this basically means is that application is free to share this information with any external entity. Besides these unintended mistakes, there have been some intentional attempts to leak the user information to outside entities. There has been a constant controversy over these applications sharing users' profile information, including their profile pictures, with external advertising agencies, including a very recent incident where a profile picture of a married woman appeared in an advertisement of a dating site. It created a huge uproar again, but the response is there's no enforcement still because it is not possible in the current architecture of these platforms. So our goals for this work is to provide privacy protection for users' data in presence of third-party applications. So our system provides three types of enforcement. Number one, we prevent data leaks to external entities such as the advertising agencies. Secondly, we ensure that the applications follow the user access control policies for the data flowing through an application. And finally, we protect the application's proprietary data from being leaked to the users of that application. We have two additional goals for our design. First of all, no changes should be required on the browser side. And secondly, the user should be oblivious to any changes, whether the changes on the in the platform or change in the design of an application. We believe that these design goals will help facilitate a quick adoption or easy adoption of our system for the existing social networking platform users. So we present our solution in the form of our system called Xbook. At a high level, the privacy protection in Xbook can be seen as a series of four steps. First of all, we have to pull the applications into a trusted Xbook domain. So that they can be mediated. What this basically means is that either these applications have to be hosted on the Xbook servers or on some servers where hosting can be controlled by Xbook. Secondly, since we allow, we also support client-side AJAX communication from these applications to external servers, we also need to monitor the applications at runtime in the browser. Also, these applications are adding value to the social networking platforms, and they require user data to perform their functionality. So what we do is we allow all these applications to whatever data access they require. However, we require and enforce them to make use of that data explicit to the user. How this is done, I will talk further in the future slides. Finally, we use information flow techniques to prevent data leaks by these applications. Looking at our architecture, our platform, the Xbook platform, is divided into two parts. One part that runs on the Xbox servers, and the second part which is rendered onto the user's browser. This runtime environment of Xbox on the user's browser is created when the user visits Xbox page and the page is downloaded to the browser. One important concept of our design is that the applications are split into multiple components. A component is a piece of code which is decided based on what piece of user information it requires, and secondly, what external entity it will communicate with. I'll look into this much deeper in next few slides. Also, we allow these applications to communicate with external parties which are predefined, however, also preventing these applications to make communication with unintended parties like the evil ad network in this figure. Finally, Xbox mediates all communication originating from these components, including the client-server communication between client and server components, as well as communication with external parties. So in order to better understand how applications are developed in Xbox, let us take an example of a typical social networking platform application. In this application requires complete user profile information to create a customized profile for the user. It in turn uses the birthday information to communicate with horoscope.com to create the daily horoscope for a user. It also uses the address information to create Google Maps for the user's location. So in Xbox, this application would be split into three components. The first component will receive all user profile information, but would not be communicated with any external entity. The second component will receive the birthday information and would be communicating with horoscope.com. Effectively, what it means is that birthday information is the only information that can be shared with horoscope.com. So basically, our Xbox system allows two types of control. First, it controls what external entity a component can communicate with. And secondly, it controls what piece of user information can be shared with this external component. Looking at the life cycle of an application, before an application is added to the Xbox platform, the application developer needs to provide Xbox platform with information about its components of the application. That includes the piece of user data the application requires and the external entity that each component will communicate with. So the Xbox platform in turn strips out the information about the components to create a user manifest. So basically this user manifest is presented to the user before the application is added. The user needs to approve to this manifest. What we achieve here is we allow the user the user is allowed to make much informed decision about whether to add the application or not. The user needs to approve this manifest before an application is added. Also, similar to other social networking platforms, the user also supplies a set of platform policies, for example, allowing access to his data to his friends. These policies, along with the component information, are used to create component labels in our system. These component labels are in turn used for controlling information flow throughout the Xbox platform. One of the challenges of our system is how to isolate these components from each other and also from the components of other applications. This includes both client-side and the server-side components. I will be talking about confinement in the client-side components in this talk, but I'll refer you to our paper, to read our paper for the server-side confinement. So in order to confine a particular component into its with its own control elements, we limit the components to be written in a safe subset of JavaScript called AddSafe. AddSafe is an object capability subset of JavaScript that removes some unsafe features like global variables, eval, etc. from the subset. Since there's no access to the global object, a document object of a page, this prevents the component from having direct access to the DOM elements of that page. For those who are not familiar, a DOM is basically a tree-like representation of a HTML page which is stored by the browser, and JavaScripts can modify or read the page based on this DOM representation. In turn, we allow access indirectly by providing a capability to the page services, and this capability is monitored by the Xbox platform. So our requirement is to isolate these components of an application within our page DOM while still giving them visibility of other elements within one component. We achieve this by associating each component with a DOM wrapper object. And this DOM wrapper object is a capability that gives a partial view of the DOM space to a particular component and restricts all accesses from that component within the boundaries of that component itself. Another way of breaking the confinement exists by the way how event handling is supported in the current DOM specification. An event is basically created when some action occurs, such as click of a button. Event is generated from the root of the DOM tree, basically the DOM page DOM, and it flows to the target of that event through the first phase called the capture phase, and it bubbles back to the root of the tree from the target in the second phase called the bubble phase. So any element on the page which falls on this path is allowed to write a listener to receive this event. Basically, this allows E1 to listen to an event intended for C3, thus breaking the confinement. So one of the goals of our work was to keep the functionality of the current DOM specification as much as possible, including the concept of the two stages, but restrict that to within one component boundary. So we achieved this by means of a simple rule, a set of two rules, basically, which states that a document DOM element belonging to a component can receive an event only if it lies in the path from the root of this component to the event's target, and the event target lies in the same component. This means the element E3 can receive this event, but preventing E1 from getting the event, thus enforcing the confinement. Also, as I said earlier, that we allow these components to communicate with external parties, external entities, we support two types of communication. First is the symmetric communication, where the component that makes the request actually receives the response. In this example, this component C3 makes a request to Google Maps to get the map for the user's location. However, this type of communication is restricting the application in some scenarios. One scenario is Google also generates a set of ads along with the map they generate. But since this component C3 is only allowed to communicate with maps.google.com, these advertising links won't work. So in order to support this scenario, we have a second type of communication called asymmetric communication, where C3 will make a request to Google Maps passing the address, but the response is received by a special component, which is an unconfined component. Since this unconfined component, it's unconfined, so it can communicate with any external links, thus allowing the ad links to function. However, what we restrict is that any other component of this application cannot change the integrity of this component. And since the content of this component is actually received from Google Maps, what we can see here is the trust level of this component is basically the same as Google Maps. We trusted Google Maps for the address, and this component also has the address. Okay, even though our system is completely independent from any other social networking platform, we also investigated the possible deployment strategy for our system. In order to do that, we actually ported our system as an application on top of Facebook. Since Facebook allows almost all user data to be shared with the applications, the Facebook data actually feeds Xbox user data. And you can go and check out our application on top of Facebook at this URL. What we have here now is there are two options for an application developer. One, they can create an application on top of Facebook, or they can create an application on top of Xbox. So for the Facebook applications, the user need to trust, okay, Facebook they have to trust, but they also have to trust all the applications they add to their profile. But on top of Xbox, they have to trust Facebook, because Facebook is the base platform. Xbox is one of these applications, so they only trust one application, which is the Xbox application, thus reducing the amount of trust they require. There is also some incentives for the application developers. First of all, if same functionality is provided, the users would be more attracted towards the Xbox application, since the applications developed over Xbox provide greater privacy guarantees. Also, as a future potential, if Xbox is ported as an application on any other social networking platform, this will basically automatically port all the application developed on top of Xbox without any major change. For the application, similar to any other platform, Xbox also provides a set of APIs for development of these third-party applications. In order to see the applicability or the usability of our APIs, we created a set of two sample applications. One was a horoscope application, and second application was a utility application taking some functionality from Facebook's top friend application. And we also tested these applications for any performance overheads they have for enforcing the information flow control. Our results show that these applications incur about 3 to 4% overhead for providing the privacy control. For the labeling system, our labeling system is based on some existing work on information flow labels. So I won't go deeper into that at all. And also, one thing which is different in our system is how the X4 hierarchy is made. Basically, an X4 hierarchy defines whether an entity in in a system can act for another entity in the system and can assume its power. So in this case, without looking at this complete figure, there are two points to keep in mind. First of all, the server-side labels get a priority over the client-side labels. What we achieve from this is that the server-side components of an application can protect the application's proprietary data from being leaked to the client-side components, which are less trusted. The second point is that for the same server-side or client-side labels, the user label gets priority over the application labels. What this virtually means is that the application allows any user-independent data to be shared with all the users of that application. Taking some examples of the Xbook flows, if seeing this example, we can see that the component S1, which is a server-side component, can receive the application's proprietary data because user labels have higher priority over the application labels. So this flow is allowed. However, the client-side component cannot receive the application's proprietary data directly because the client-side label is lower in priority than the server-side labels. The only way C1 can receive this data is through S1. S1 can declassify this data before being passed to C1. But since these components are written by the application developer, the developer can make sure that its proprietary data is not leaked to the client-side components. Another example is the labels actually defines which user data the particular component can receive. In this case, since it has a label for user 0, it can only receive user 0's data and not getting user 1's data unless user 1 allows in its platform policies that the data can be shared with user zero. So to conclude, we presented a novel framework for improving user privacy in social networking platforms in view of third-party applications. Our system named Xbook allows applications to have access to any user data they require for their functionality while still preventing them from leaking this data. Also, we developed a working prototype of the Xbook system and is available online. And also, a set of APIs are available for developing Xbook applications for anyone who is interested. So this concludes my talk. Thank you very much, and I will be happy to take any questions.
So I think this is nice. What about usability? The users have to fill out this form to figure out what data they're willing to share. Have you done any careful experiments with usability?
We haven't done the experiment, but we have thought about what way we can reduce the burden on the user. One way is, first of all, if we are just providing the user with, okay, this piece of user information would be shared with this external entity. We can have an add-on on top of it where these external entity could be flagged. Say, for example, there's an evil.com and it's known to be evil. We can completely say to the user that this evil.com wants this data and we are not allowing you to access it. Another thing is, if the user does not agree with some of these policies, part of these application won't work because only one component won't work, but other components can still continue to work. So, also, the policies, the user policies could be defined for across all applications. So it's not necessary that user has to define it again and again.
And so I think the usability question is going to really be the key question here, because you're educating people who don't think about these things and who don't understand information flows.
I agree with
you.
And
I think that that's actually going to be a very hard part of the problem.
Sure.
Two questions. First of all, as a user, the question that sort of comes out is, you know, why should I trust you rather than some application? Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, as an application writer, the question is, why should I give you the data that I'm harvesting, you know, have you harvest the data of users instead of harvesting it myself, which is basically, I think, the main goal of Facebook applications is just getting people's data. Mm-hmm. So I kind of don't see the incentive for the application writer. You would really have to, as we were saying, really educate the users to convince them that they have to force application users to adopt this kind of thing. Because otherwise, they'll just say, no, I want your data, so I'm not running inside Xbox.
So to answer your first question, why would a user actually trust Xbox? Mm-hmm. Users are already trusting all the application on top of Facebook. Whatever application you add, the trust level for each application is the same. They are trusting the application to have your data. So you are just trusting Xbox as one application. So the trust level is same as you are trusting the application. You are not trusting at the same level as Facebook, because Facebook has all your data. Xbox has only data which Facebook exposes. So the trust is one application versus whatever applications you are adding. Because all other applications in case of Facebook would be added on top of Xbox. And Xbox is guaranteeing that these applications won't be leaking data. So it's your choice. It's one application versus multiple applications. Also, as a future of this work, we think this work would be something like if Facebook decides to use it as their Facebook application, so that it would be trusted as a Facebook domain, instead of an individual application from a third party. So that we feel is probably a potential future for this work.
And that would also answer the second question, because then application writers wouldn't have a choice.
Well, application writers still have a choice. They can write as an application on top of Facebook, as they are writing today. There's a set of APIs for that.
Yeah.
And there's a choice that they write on top of Xbox. There are two potential benefits we talked about. First is maybe the users will, if the functionality is the same, people go for functionality first. If the functionality remains the same, they might think of security. And if you are saying, oh, my functionality is the same, but I'm adding this extra security, the privacy issues, maybe the users would be inclined towards it. And if we see some news articles of late, people are getting more and more informed, at least they are thinking in that direction, that there are privacy issues in these social networks. Probably that might take a little time, but we hope it will be there.
Thank you.
Let's take one last question from up front while our next speaker is getting set up.
Interesting, Björk. One can argue that the fact that you developed a sample application for Xbox doesn't mean much, because that was you who developed that application. Also, application may be not very complex. Mm-hmm. Have you tried to port existing non-trivial application that was developed specifically for Facebook to Xbox? Mm-hmm. And what was your experience?
So the couple of applications we actually ported, like the Horoscope application, is actually almost similar to Facebook's Horoscope application. The second application we ported is the utility application, has because Top Friends had a lot of functionality. We just ported some of these functionality of Top Friends, which is a Facebook application, onto Xbox. Also, we analyzed some possible ways of designing these applications, because we had discussed that in the paper too, but surely there could be some limitations for these applications. And since we are pitching it as an independent platform with a potential to be integrated with some existing platform, it's possibility that there might be some learning curve for some of the application writers.
Okay, let's thank our speaker again.